Very good! Ed Berry on the buzzer! What an
Making big shots.
Davis to reply. Yes, he hits a three! 3 3-pointers in quick succession at either end of the floor. The Rocks have it now.
Durham brings it cross mid-court. He's getting harassed by Evans. They still have fouls to give Cheshire. Here's Sloan to the basket. Out to Oymaz. Sloan in the corner for the win. Oh! Can you believe it? David Sloan wins it on the buzzer. And the Caledonian Gladiators go wild.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Gladcast Basketball Podcast. We are back for our weekly roundup of Gladiators. Are you ready? We are joined as usual by Mitchell. Mitchell, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah. We're recording this. I'm recording this live from Bilbao, Spain. This is the day of our match against CERN Bilbao, Spain. So it's going to be really, really good fun. And it's going to be a very long week ahead for us.
Yeah, I'm recording this from wet, cold Glasgow, Scotland, so not as exciting as for you. Because of when we're recording this, by the time a lot of people come to listen to this, you've probably already know the result. We're not going to really overly touch on the Bilbao game. We'll talk about that on next week's show. But what we will do is we're going to kick off, we're going to review and have a look back at what was another stellar week in Gladiators basketball, with both teams being winning at home in Europe and then both teams winning domestically as well. So let's talk about the women's team with their FIBA Euro Cup win over the Basket Namur Capital of Belgium, and what was a 49-42 point win. And what was actually quite a scrappy game, Mitchell.
It was, yeah. It was... There's a lot of things you could say about the game, but I think that even the Gladiators could admit they didn't have their best game. It's a very low-scoring game, 49-42. So in terms of most standards of basketball, that's pretty low-scoring. But give them credit where credit is due. They fought through and they held out to win. A couple of players from them really stood out in that game, and they've really made it difficult for us. But the team held strong, came together as a unit, and got across the line.
Yeah, the Gladiators were led by Ariadna Pujol. She got 12 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. You then had Bintu, who had 9 points, 12 rebounds. And this is where the strength of depth comes to for this kind of Gladiators team. Is on it, as everyone keeps saying, any single night, someone else kind of steps up. We saw it against Benfica, and Dai, who kind of went off. She still got 13 points and in 21 minutes, but then if you compare it to domestically, you just have to look at Evgenia Putra, who only played 6 minutes but has been the leading light domestically so far.
Yeah, definitely, and it's one of the benefits this women's team have is because they have this depth, anyone can step up on any given night. And even you look at how the spread of the games are, I mean, efficiency, Bintu led the way by quite some margin. Next up was Ariadna behind her. Even Sam Roscoe played 30 minutes. She only had 4 points and 2 rebounds, but plus minus is 10. So she's leading the team in that front. She's clearly having a massive impact on the floor.
Yeah, and you can tell her worth to the squad. Like, not many teams, it seems so far, by playing against Benfica and Namur, but also domestically, have someone who is kind of playing the four, who can step out and hit the three and catch and shoot so comfortably, and who then plays such intense defense. But the girls were incredible last night. Was that Thursday? That was Thursday night, wasn't it?
It was Thursday.
Last Thursday at PlaySport, putting away Namur. So they're going to head into now. They've had their two home games. We've now got away trips to Benfica and to Namur in Belgium to look forward to towards the end of November. So fingers crossed, the girls look on a tremendous run. I think I've seen a stat online saying that when you take into effect the fact they've only been able to play the two matches, they're ranked the top 8 clubs in the competition so far. So a brilliant start to that European campaign. And then, yeah, another great win. And this is the girls continue this kind of unbeaten run.
It's definitely the momentum keeps rolling for the women's team, and much more to come for sure.
So let's then jump on and talk about the men's game against Anvil the night before, and what has to be one of the, I said it to Gareth in the press conference, one of, for the men's point of view, one of the biggest games in history. First home game, first home win, taking on defending champions, and what was a nail-biting game throughout, a 66-63 win. We were both there in what was actually such a massive and amazing atmosphere.
Unbelievable game. You couldn't have asked for a more entertaining match of basketball. Both teams refused to go away, and it was so back and forth from start to finish. It was just every time that one team got on a run, the other one matched it or returned the favour. It was up and down the entire game. And I don't know about you, but I was on the edge of my seat from the minute the ball tipped up to the minute the game ended. It was just incredible.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game. And it was, you've talking to people around and listening to other people talk, you hear people saying how it was a definition of European basketball and what this squad was kind of built for. Gareth said post-game about the importance of his defence in this game and limiting their best players. And look, everyone came into the game expecting someone like Victor Sanders to go off. He played basically 20 minutes, got 3 points, two rebounds, two assists. He had 4 turnovers for a plus-minus of -9. And he's one of their, on paper, one of their most effective shooters. As a team, tend to shoot over 33s. They only shot 19 because Gareth's team ran them off the line. There was some standout performances for them. Kalief Young, Luke Petrasek, and Tanner Groves. Tanner Groves was brilliant off the bench, actually. He made such a massive impact, 16 points, 9 rebounds as well. And they kind of had to change up and become a lot more of an inside team because our perimeter defence was superb. It was what I would describe as a proper team performance. You had the absolute amazing defence of Kyle Johnson, the defence from Fraser Malcolm as well, both kind of playing 20 minutes of just intense defence. But then also the two of them linked up for such a crucial play. I think it was actually the only end of the first quarter to get that buzzer beater from, I think it was originally Kyle Jimenez's pass.
Yeah, it was unbelievable game. It was, and credit to Anvil, they did not make it easy, and their crowd and their fans that came did not make it easy. Chanting from, similar to when we're in Romania, chanting from the minute the ball was tipped to the minute the game ended. They were behind their team. And our fans met the call. They stood up, they stepped up and massively supported us on that game too. In terms of a playing perspective, it's interesting to think that from our side, the game was a tight game. We did really well, but two of our main rotation players didn't actually see the court. Trent Butcher has obviously been injured for a while. He'd hopefully be returning in the near future. And Jovicic didn't play. He was actually ill on the day of the game, so he couldn't step onto the court either. So not having those two in your rotation, and we still pull out a massive victory against the reigning cup champions, is massive for the club.
And you just have to see as well what it meant. Like, you saw the impact of Clifton Moore off the bench. However, you've got to then look at the impact of even things like Lucas Paliza, how he's beginning to shoot the ball a lot cleaner. Prince Onwaz's 2 threes that were actually huge momentum grabbers at the time. Like, they were kind of in the ascendancy, just missed one and then took his second one quite quickly after that, made his third one, and you're like, this is like, Prince has maybe struggled to find a shot this season so far, but those 2 threes and his defensive performance again just stands out.
Yeah, it's the joy of the game. It's all about momentum and swings, and those 2 threes by him just massively swung the dial in our favour. It was a really incredible performance from the team. I mean, even looking at Clifton's stats, 8 rebounds, 3 blocks. Well, that's 3 blocks in itself is a massive plus, because that defensive presence at the rim means that everyone has to respect that. And it's a shame with Farrow. He got 5 fouls in less than 15 minutes. He didn't probably have the impact he would probably want for the game. But it's a learning experience again for him. It's how is he getting called against these European standard teams? And hopefully he can translate some of that to the Bilbao game.
Yeah, it did feel it a wee time that one of the refs decided just to pick on him as it seemed to be the same ref that called him for all five fouls. But looking back at it, such a massive positive, you just have to look across that and the efficiency of Patrick Whelan. Like, Patrick, again, leading the team, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, but 3 steals. Defensively and offensively, he's able to do so much.
Patrick is just showing why he's one of the best players in the domestic league and also why he's one of our best players for the GB squad as well. He's just such a versatile player who can score in any number of ways on offense, but his impact on defense is just as good. Steals-wise, is a really incredible to see, but even off-ball presence, he's there and he's actively competing for every ball and every possession. And that's what we need. And that's the style of play that Gareth likes. He likes having that player that's multi-versatile, that's multi-skilled, that can apply his skill set in different ways. And we've seen how quick step and how his agility works for Patrick Whelan on offense. The fact that he's using it on defense as well and having a significant impact in the game is incredible. And it's amazing to watch.
Yeah, and he's such a brilliant elite scorer. Like, he can shoot the ball going left or right. I think it was, we'll touch on when we get to the Sunday game against Leicester, how clutch in big moments he's been so far this season. And I think in every game this season, he's come up with some clutch plays, whether late in shot clocks or whether it's been on the defensive end getting a stop or a steal or whatever, forced a turnover. I think we're very, as Gladiators fans and watchers of the game, we're really kind of lucky to have him here.
100%. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm very grateful to have him on our team with the results we've had this weekend in particular, but is the fact that he's such a high impact guy means no team can take a night off against him. And if he does, he goes off. He'll score a ton of points on you. And then if he does that, then there's no stopping him. All it takes is a couple of shots. He's one of these guys that once he's hit a couple of shots, that's it. He's got his momentum. He's good to go for the rest of the game.
Yeah, and it's fantastic seeing he's takes that momentum into every game, plays with his heart in his sleeve, and it's brilliant to see. So from Europe, obviously the men today, when we are recording this Wednesday, are taking on Bilbao tonight. Time you come to listen to this, it may have already played, maybe the next day or whatever. So we'll talk about that game on the next episode, probably Monday, hopefully, and we'll go from there. But a fantastic start to both squads' European adventures. You've seen it's brilliant to see two Scottish sides do so well in Europe. So, Mitchell, let's move on. We're going to touch on the women's WBBL victory against the Newcastle Eagles. On the road, they won 49 points to 90, so a 41-point lead. And what, again, kind of similar to the weekend before, was just an absolute class display.
Yeah. The Gladiators did what they had to do and went on the road to one of our closest rivals and took care of business. It was an absolute dominant win from start to finish. It was really impressive to see them do that against a team that I wasn't too sure about Newcastle. I know that obviously with the setup they have, you would expect a high-level challenge. And we've got the squad we have this year definitely showed that we had to compete from the start to finish, but it was just a nice shared performance across the board. Everyone contributed and did their part.
Yeah, I get the impression, though, they've had a bit of pre-season injury and one of their team players came in a bit or injured and had to get cut. So I think they're one or two bodies down. But it was the manner of the result and the amount of rotation Coach Ortega was able to do from her starting five to, like you've seen, that kind of maybe her European starters coming off the bench, people like Bintu, Ariadna playing like between 13 and 15 minutes. But again, we said it touched on earlier, it was Evgenia Putra again, who, and shout out to her, she's just been called up to the full Ukrainian national team for their kind of start of Eurobasket preparations for them. So well done to her. And it's her taking her domestic performances in the Women's British Basketball League. Another 20 points, 12 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 block, 10 a night.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Like, she's, the impact she's having domestically in terms of having her earned on defense in particular is incredible. Like, she's influencing everything. No one wants to attack the basket when she's on the floor. And as a team, I'm just looking at some of the stats from the game. Like, the Gladiators had 20 steals in the game. And then they held, in terms of shooting, they held Newcastle to 31% from the field. for the game. That's incredible. There's credence to the fact that defense leads the way for us, both on the men's and the women's sides. When we play defense strong, our chance to win the game goes up dramatically. So,
yeah, maybe one thing that I'd look to focus on. There was a few really soft fouls. Gladiators conceded 21 fouls to 17. Christy Brown fouled out in 15 minutes. She was put on a good display as well. She was 11 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists as well. But the column that stands out massively for me is the amount of assists. Like 28 assists, loads of sharing of the ball. It's a team that kind of pride themselves in just moving the ball around, which is really great.
Yeah, credit to Miguel and Donnie, the coaching staff, and Chantel for that matter. They've all really contributed in building this sort of European style of team offense, team defense, and everyone gets a touch and everyone works together. And that's the proof's in the pudding. They had 29 assists in the game. That's incredible. That's a really good assist tally. If any team matches that, that's a really good team performance. And I mean, if you look at their results for the game, you got four players had 10 or more points. Hannah Robb had 9, Erin McGarrigan had 8. Like this points tally is being shared across the board. And that's, again, credit to the team. That's incredible.
Yeah, and probably the most disappointing thing now for the girls is the season almost takes a halt for them. There are other games happening within the league, including this weekend. There's a game, but then there's a gap for Eurobasket stuff for the women, which good luck to any of our girls selected for that. Rumours are there will be a couple, no doubt, with such a good British impact to our squad. So unfortunately, girls now don't have a game until the home game on the 26th of November against Essex Rebels. So almost, that is basically 4 weeks now until the next game the girls play as a squad. So I remember having this discussion with Chantel on a podcast last year about that kind of gap and how it's like the season gets going and then you've got this massive weight and then they play for a while. They play like through to the month of December. They play the start of January, then they're off for a month and then it's near enough week in, week out and they've got to play. And you almost think, we need to do more for our women players to give them more games or have, like, they only play each other twice. Like, why are they not playing each other a third time to increase the amount of matches? Because there's a lot of gaps in the schedule.
Yeah, the stop-start isn't really... It's tough to manage. Like, if you imagine it from any perspective, imagine you're doing your job for like 2 or 3 months, you're doing all the hard work, getting everything ready, and then suddenly you're, by no fault of your own, removed from the position for a month where you don't know what you don't know. In some cases you wouldn't know what you're doing, but you know you're coming back eventually, but it's weeks away. How do you prepare for that properly? How do you spend your time efficiently in that time to make sure you're preparing for coming back? And it's tough. I've no doubt that the women's coaching staff will have a plan in place of what they want to do in this time. No doubt it'll be looking at what's happened the games prior, how do we adapt, how do you improve, and then also playing that game of chess with these European games as well that are coming up of, okay, so they've played us, they've got their scout on us now, they now know how we play, what we do, how do they then adapt that? And it's almost trying to think 2 or 3 steps ahead. So this month period is a lot of planning and preparation for the coaches and for the players. It's making sure they're prepared to lock in when the games do return.
Yeah, so that's the next domestic game. I believe they'll be on the road to Benfica on like the midweek before that Essex game. So good luck to the girls who get selected for international duty, whether it's Avina for Ukraine or whoever else. So good luck to them. And yeah, we'll hopefully see a continuation to this brilliant start to the season for them. But on the next day, we had the men's squad take on the Leicester Riders, in which was a proper hard-on battle. The Gladiators came out on top, near enough on the buzzer, 84-83, in what was probably the game of the week. The Gladiators led by Patrick Whelan again, 24 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Lucas Paliza went 5 from 5 for his first 5 three-pointers. He finished with 18 and 5 in what was a tremendous result for the squad.
Absolutely amazing game. And from the fans' perspective, it must have been like, I can't imagine what it was like for them. For me, it was just, what am I watching?
So, yeah, it was after kind of that halftime period where we really saw that kind of game go back and forth. The Gladiators scored, I think it was 40 points in the second half to the 39 of, yeah, because we went into halftime tied, yeah, didn't we?
We did.
And what was a proper end-to-end match? The Riders came out starting five, didn't really perform early on with the Gladiators taking a lead, but it was the bench impact from Kimball McKenzie, Bowman, and Connor Washington who made a major impact in this game. Mitchell, one of the things I was massively keen on was to see the narrative for this match, because obviously you have players like Pat Whelan going back to play against a former team. He was playing against guys he played with. He was playing against, say, for example, Kimball, who he played with in Canada over the summer. But then you also have the almost the villain in this sense, Kimball, who the rumour was he'd almost signed for the club in the summer. So I love the narrative of that match, that it was Kimball that kind of brought, kind of just dragged them through to have a chance winning this game.
Yeah, Kimball played really well. Like even though he only scored, he was only 30% from the field, only had 9 points, only played 16 minutes. His impact on the floor was incredible. He was a incredibly strong floor general for the Riders. And his style of play he plays is that sort of high energy, but he has a lot of control about how he does it. And if it wasn't for the impact he had on both offense and defense, that Leicester game could have got really out of control.
Yeah, so the bench scoring for Leicester was 46 compared to ours 15. We were obviously missing Buttrick, and it was good to see Jovetic back in playing more minutes this game. But it was really interesting seeing that kind of start to the game where our starters looked in control. Farrell was getting some easy looks inside. The boss looked like he was running the offense really well. He had a decent game, 11 points, 8 assists. And again, this to me looks really much like a team performance.
It does. Again, it's a nice sharing of the ball. And I think for me, the epitome of the team basketball element for us was that last shot, was that last possession of the game that we had, where the play was clearly drawn off for Patrick. That was our number one option. Leicester knew it was coming. And then rather than forcing the shot and playing a bit of hero ball, which anyone that's played basketball will know, sometimes you want to do that near the end of a game, you want to score it yourself. Patrick made the smart decision, made the pass inside for a high percentage shot for Clifton to take the lead. And that's a really smart team decision over the personnel, and that's a massive deal.
Yeah, and maybe the one question mark is, off this performance, is did we get enough scoring contribution off the bench? You'll have guys who maybe like Clifton Moore maybe should have taken more shots, or Kyle Johnson making more shots. Kyle's slowly getting back into kind of form after a tough off-season where he kind of got injured just after arriving from Canada. So it's interesting seeing Gareth just slowly ramp his minutes up. You saw that by his contribution defensively against Anvil. And it's players like rotation players like that, as season goes on, injuries, guys maybe having an off night, it'll be players like Kyle Johnson that will step up.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned with the bench points yet. I think we're still early days and we're still learning about our team, about how we want to play, especially when our starters get in foul trouble. And as you said, Kyle Johnson is stepping up slowly but surely. His momentum is getting under his legs. I think he just needs more time. I think that's all he needs. And Fraser Malcolm, for example, only had 3 points, only scored 1 3-pointer in the game, and that was it. We know he's had games where he can score 4 or 5 of them easily in a quarter, never mind a whole game. It was just a bad game. It's just one game. He only took one shot the whole game and he scored it, right? So that's credit being there, is that the potential for scoring on the bench is a lot higher than the stats may indicate. We've seen Jovetic go off for massive ones. He had 20 against Sibiu, for example. Yeah. You have Clifton who held the 4 points, but defensively his impact was massive and he scored the 2 biggest points that he needed to score. Kyle Johnson's defense is a massive element there. His scoring wasn't too good, but that will get better. I think we just have to have faith in these guys that they just need a bit more time just to figure out the rotation and give Gareth time to make sure that we're making the most of this bench, because the depth is there. We just didn't use it very much in this game in particular.
It was just such an interesting matchup, because for me, the Leicester Riders are very much a team that If their five rookies are clicking, Rob will just run with them. But if they're not clicking, he runs with his experienced guys. It very much felt like this game. It was almost five on, five off, five on, five off at times, which is, it's just fascinating to see how teams match up. And for them, Blake Bowman played a couple of years ago for Derby. He was 15 points. Mo Walker made a massive impact, slowly come back from injury as well. He had a plus-minus of 18, which was led their team in that. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and he chipped in with 4 points. So it was just an absolutely amazing game. Absolutely brilliant win for the squad. And it's just, it kind of goes to see. To me, this was their biggest test. People were saying, oh, yeah, the Gladiators have maybe slumped. They've not had a great start. We're 5-2. We've lost to the Lions. Everyone's losing to them. And we've dropped one to Sheffield at on the road. And you go, okay, sitting third at the moment. Played 7, 5 wins on the board, and you're going, you know what, it's a good place to be.
It was a great game across the board for everybody. I think for me, the interesting thing to kind of identify, think about who we discussed last week in terms of the main factors for Leicester, and you look at how their starters played. The only starter in double digits was Xavier Pinson. Everyone else, Holmes, Asprey, Thomas, Bridges, all had less than 10 points in the game. Their impact was very limited as a result of that. That credit has to go to the likes of our coaching staff. Our preparation for the game has been incredible, and that's been the difference maker in a number of these games. And our players stepped up. They played good defense, and that's what we have to do to win these games. It's good as well in terms of, it puts us in a really strong spot in the league as well. We're now 5-2 in the league, which is a phenomenal position to have, especially coming into this weekend where we're playing 2 games, one of which is against our next person in line is Bristol. Bristol are sitting second right now. We win both of these games this weekend, we're sitting second in the league. That's incredible.
Yeah, so let's now look towards the weekend ahead and what tends to normally be one of the toughest road trips for the club heading to that kind of southwest Derby region. But this week it's just with the slight diversion of Spain, which probably just adds its own confusions. Probably the benefit for the guys is they're playing Friday night in Plymouth rather than doing it Bristol, then Plymouth, and this on a back-to-back. We've got some days in between, or a day in between. So we play the Plymouth City Patriots first up, and they had a really interesting team to look at. They've started the season, played 10-1-1, but are beginning to really factor in a lot more games. They've brought in 2 players in the last week to replace a couple of guys. Mackay Noble dropped out due to health reasons, and they got rid of DeAndre Johnson for probably not being the type of player that they needed to kind of help their roster. So they've brought in Spencer Levi, a kind of big rebounding impact player who, compared to what they had, is night and day. But they've also brought in a familiar face to many who are long-term fans, is Tyrell Green. Tyrell Green played for the Rocks a couple of seasons ago under the same season that we had Jordan Harris, JC Hillsman, and Jordan Johnson. And it was someone that unfortunately got injured whilst he was with us, but was beginning to kind of come into a bit of form.
Definitely. I think that these changes to Plymouth will be an interesting factor to keep an eye of, because we saw in the last Plymouth game that they played, their new additions actually had a good impact in the game. They were really big difference makers, and they probably didn't have very much practice with their team before that match.
They had one session, apparently.
What? Sorry?
They had one session, apparently.
One session? Jeez. If I did that, I could not imagine. That would be chaotic. But that's incredible. That's the fact that they had the impact they did in such a limited time is a really good credit to them. And hopefully that can mean their squad will improve. And they're still one of these teams that no team can take lightly, because they're such a high-energy team and such an up-and-down team that at times they're a bit hard to really juggle. Like, we've dealt with them before at home, but we had a good lead. They came right back into it. And that's all it takes. It takes a couple of good runs from Plymouth, and they could take a win. They've already beaten one team at home. They'll be looking to make that 2 this weekend, so we need to be ready for that.
And they're a team, so they're led in offense through the 3 guys who stood out last time: Mason Faulkner at the point, TJ Atwood, who kind of is able to create his own shot, and Taylor Johnson, who has had a brilliant start to the year. So it's going to be now an interesting matchup. One thing that kind of stands out for me still for this squad is potentially still their lack of depth. Bringing in Green and Levi does then mean someone like a Jacob Wiley maybe comes off the bench. And then that means that Elvisi, Joe Hart, Joseph Daniel-Kodo can contribute in different ways.
Definitely. And I think one thing to keep an eye on is the return of Trent Buttrick for us. He's been training with the guys while he's been in Bilbao, so he is getting there. He's ready. Hopefully, we're hoping he'll be stepping on the court this weekend to play in the Plymouth and or Bristol game and working his way up to that. So his return gives us a bit more dynamism off the bench, also means a bit more depth, and he's another big body in sight. You now have that him back against a Plymouth team. It'll be a factor, no doubt. But the big one for him is Bristol, because that's a big team, physical team. That's the kind of team that he's going to be ready for and that the team are going to be ready for. But looking at Plymouth, it's going to be wild.
So we take on the Bristol Flyers on Sunday. I think it's the early game on Sunday, so a 3 p.m. start. Bristol Flyers played 10-1-7 and really come into this game off the back of they come in. I think they play Friday night as well. And they, I think, do they? No, they don't. London, do they?
I think they do. I'm just going to check.
They do. They play London on Friday and then us on Sunday. They also come in off a defeat in ENBL Tuesday night, where they kind of almost clutched defeat from the jaws of victory. Was that the right way around? Whatever. They probably should have won that against a highly experienced Lithuanian team. They do come into the game with potentially a couple injuries. It'll be interesting to see if Kedrian Johnson and Royal Graham Bell are back. But what all that kind of now means is you see the kind of impact of Tevin Olsen, Rafa Thomas-Edwards and Brad Greenmore.
Definitely. And I think that this is an interesting test for both teams. We're actually in very similar situations. They played on Tuesday. We're playing Wednesday. We're both playing Friday against teams of obviously very different positioning on the table, but London played with a lot of high energy and a lot of physicality throughout the game. Plymouth aren't going to make it easy for the Gladiators on Friday night either. So they're both going to be dealing with elements of fatigue when it comes into this game on Sunday. Obviously, we both have Saturday to fully recover and rest up, but there's still two games in the week already with a third game to come. It's going to be an interesting sort of almost war of attrition, I feel. It's going to be interesting to see if they have injuries, who is stepping up for them? Who do we need to target? Who do we need to look into? And for us, how are our guys faring? And who's ready to step up when we have to against a team that we know how loud Bristol can get with their fans? We need to be ready for anything, really.
I'm really curious. I'm just really excited by this matchup. You've got different types of centres. Obviously, you look at Brad Green and what he's able to do. He's a double-double type guy. It does seem like every game one of our bigs gets a double-double. And it's just going to be an interesting matchup seeing like Farrow and Clifton go against Brad Green, but also just seeing the kind of outside threat from them. Kevin Olsen has, what did he shoot? He's 40% near enough from the three from outside. They shoot a lot of threes, so it's just a fascinating game. I'm really kind of excited to see what it's going to be. And you just got to think with Bristol, that game for us comes off the back of a long week. You've got to see how the guys respond, but there's no excuses when they've had the exact same situation. Okay, for them, they've not had to travel to Spain. They've played Bristol, London, and back in Bristol, whereas we're on the road. You're in Bilbao right now, for example. So it's a massively testing week. But before we round off, and so I don't forget again before we finish, Mitchell, let's get your Gladiator of the Week.
Oh, honestly, I think just because of there's two, and I'm sorry for this one, they're both on the men's side from this week, just because of the nature of the games that we've had. But I think with his impact on the game on both sides of the floor and his performance on offense, I mean, they both both games were very good, but I have to go Patrick Whelan. I have to. He's had such a good week for us, and He's now coming into playing Bilbao. Hopefully he has a good game here, but it's a busy weekend for him, and he's going to keep the momentum rolling without a doubt.
Did you see he had two?
Had two what?
Did you see, I've
had two good games last week, didn't he?
Oh, two good games. Ah.
He had two good games. He played well against Anvil. He played well against Leicester. So he's taking momentum to play against Bilbao. Hopefully, by the time you're listening to this, he's had a good game against them. And then he's got two big games in Bristol and Plymouth where I expect it to return. I expect more.
And maybe you'll get Monday off.
Maybe. We've got Sibiu at home on the following Wednesday, so we'll see.
Yeah, so let's finish on actually that. November's a massive month for the club. 11 games in 30 days, of course.
Hold up. Who's your pick? I pick my gladiator. Who's your gladiator?
See, Pat Whelan's my guy at the moment. I think what he's doing is just incredible, how he's kind of leading the team in a lot of respects. You saw that when he played the pass to Clifton in the timeout. He was the guy's like, okay, focus, 2 seconds on the clock type thing. And actually, let's just touch, we never touched on it, the help defense from Prince Onwaz in that last play. Pat's gone for the steal, fair enough. It's one of these moments where if Prince doesn't go for that ball, he got fingernails on that ball. That means a massive difference to that game, potentially. Mm-hmm. But no, I've got to say, Pat Whelan, he's just superb, an absolute brilliant kind of player, and for anyone looking to get better is to watch how he plays the game with so much kind of determination. It's superb. So now can we talk about the schedule ahead?
Yes, we can. Let's go first.
So, over the next, we've obviously got Bilbao tonight. When you listen to this, we have got away travel to Plymouth City Pictures on Friday night. On the 5th, we play the Bristol Flyers. We're then back at home on the 8th to play Cebu of Romania in Europe Cup. On the 11th, at home to the Sheffield Sharks, away to Poland, at home to the Eagles, at home to Bilbao, at home to Cheshire Phoenix, and then away to close. We're not even closing the month again, away to the Cheshire Phoenix before we finish the month at home to the Bristol Flyers. 11 games, 30 days, almost, I would say, a season defining month ahead. Hopefully, I'm not overbuilding that up, because it is, with so many games, a massive month for the club. The women will be back in action towards the end of it, and which is still a massive time for them. But with games across Europe, games across the length of the country before kind of ending the month with a good number of games at home, it's going to be a special month.
It's going to be a hectic month, I think is the better way to put it. But it's going to be fun. A lot of games, we've got really good opponents we're coming up for. And if you think about this, by the time November's out, we've probably solidified where we're going to be in the league for Christmas time. And on top of that, we get to find out our Europe Cup campaign could be over by that point. Or if things go our way and we pick up maybe a couple more wins, we could be in the next round. That's the challenge with Europe Cup for us, is that it's not top two and through. It's number one from the 10 groups in Europe Cup and then the top six second places. So even if we lose to Bilbao and we're not going to finish top of the group, every game matters, because we could finish second and go through. And then you've got a lot of domestic games as well against teams that are of a good standard, that they're all going to give us a challenge. And that last game against Bristol on the 30th, that's just first of two games that week. We play London that Sunday as well.
That's a new month, though. That's December's issue.
Yes, it is a December's issue. But for now, the standard's pretty good. We're starting off with a hard three games in a week. Then it's two, 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 and then one then for November, then two for December included. It's going to be a fun month, but keep your eyes peeled. There's a lot of action going on.
Yeah, brilliant. Mitchell, thanks again for joining us. And Gladiators, are you ready? To everyone listening, thank you. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. And happy watching all the basketball that we're going to be seeing over the next month. So yeah, November's massive. Shout out to all the squads doing such amazing things and putting on such brilliant performances. And we'll hear you next week on the show.